Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. The following road sessions are from people living on the gas lands and fighting fracking throughout the United States and globally.
We've come here from around the country to send you a simple message.
Please.
We want you to ban fracking now! Ban fracking now! Ban fracking now!
Public health and the environment is being destroyed by fracking! We've come here today from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, West Virginia, with one simple message for you. Ban fracking now! Ban fracking now!
Hi, I'm Sharon Wilson, and I'm also known as Texas Sharon, and I'm from Texas. I lived in Wise County in North Texas, and that's where Mitchell Energy experimented until they learned how to get oil and gas out of shale. So it literally was born in my backyard, and it cost me a great deal in because I lost my American dream too. So I've gone through so many stories of so many people who have been horribly impacted by this. I helped them learn how to document contamination on their property and wade through the very complicated maze of regulation. Then I took their case studies, I developed their stories into case studies, and I put them together for a report called Flowback, How the Texas Natural Gas Boom Affects Health and Safety. And those are the case studies that I took to the EPA in advance of their new air rules for oil and gas. Evidence from where the residents had the state test in their yard, and the chemicals detected in their yard matched the chemicals detected in their blood, and then industry still denies that they're causing any harm. So when that happens, when the chemicals in your air around your house match the chemicals in your blood, industry needs to stop denying and start fixing the problem.
Margaret Bowers. One of my missions is to bring this issue to my community, to make them aware of what's going on, because it is not a subject that is discussed very much by the leadership of that community. I want people to know what's going on. I've lived in that community for 34 years, and in my youth, when I first bought there, I drove south on La Cienega Boulevard and I saw the ugly oil field, but I wasn't educated as to the risks that we face. And so once I turned right to go to my home and I didn't see the field anymore, I wasn't concerned. But now, through the efforts of various community groups like Citizens Coalition, I am more informed and I feel that I have a duty to inform others. My neighborhood is a beautiful, tranquil community to look at. When you see it, you think, how beautiful. But if you really thought about what we are facing, it really isn't beautiful. It is quite dangerous. Our health is at risk. I wake up in the night and I smell oil, or I smell rotten egg. I wake up the first thing in the morning when I have breathed the air inside my home, and I go out, like Dr. Williams was just saying, and I can really smell what's out there. Sometimes it's pungent. I'm a registered nurse. I've taken care of people with lung cancer, people who became ill because they had no control over what made them ill. I'm thinking that we do have some control over what is potentially making us ill in this community, and we need to do something about it.
I'm at Calicoon Creek Park in Calicoon, New York.
Jen McGlashan.
The Delaware River is what brought me up to this area in the first place.
And Jen, you live in Calicoon Center. You have a farm. You moved here so you could do this. Mm-hmm. You're very connected, of course, to the land itself as a farmer and to water. How would you share with us your views on what's happening around the issues of fracking and shale gas extraction?
Oh, it would destroy everything. I can't even really parse it out for that. It would destroy everything. I mean, one contamination and that's it. And like I said, I'm at the top of the hill. You know, if I were to have a well up there, it would ruin the valley. I can't say it any clearer than that. It would destroy everything. I'm cautiously optimistic. I feel like the longer we keep them at bay to let the science catch up. And they're discovering also that this region isn't as lucrative as they thought it was, and people are pulling out of Pennsylvania. And I feel like if we just stall, eventually the science and the politics and the monetary issues will not solve themselves, but become more of a deterrent to the large gas companies.
I'm Jill Wiener. I work with Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy.
Jill, we're here at the Calicoon Farmers Market. The Delaware's right there, right in front of us. And this is part of the Delaware Is Me campaign. I'm wondering if you can talk about what that is and the upcoming DRBC meeting and things like that.
Sure. So I work in conjunction and with a whole bunch of different organizations who are good government groups and environmental organizations and public health advocates who are concerned about the health of the river and the future of the river, and especially the looming question about the DRBC issuing fracking regulations on property around the river and through the river. 2 years ago, there were proposed regulations, and they were never issued. So we're sort of celebrating that and celebrating the health of the river today. Hashtag the Delaware is me.
Thank you, Jill. Jill Wiener from Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Allison Okoturo.
It's a pleasure meeting you. We were both at this meeting, an educational and brainstorming meeting. And I'm wondering, we're here in Baldwin Hills. What brought you to this meeting?
I came in this weekend to spend a few hours with my friend. Then he told me that there's a meeting that he has to attend. If I would like to come, I said yes. That's why I came in here. And when I got here, what they were saying about this oil pollution, this fracking, I was shocked, because that's exactly what I've been trying to do. Especially I've been looking for where I can get office of Chevron, because Chevron has been operating in my area for over 45 years.
Where is your area?
Escravos in Nigeria. Escravos, Nigeria is the operation headquarter for Chevron Oil. And that's my village. The village is better off than when Chevron came in there. When I was a young boy, we used to live in that village. We had a school. We have everything. But today, as I speak, we don't have anything in that village anymore. It's all destroyed environmentally. The air is polluted. There is nothing. The people there, they're even more poor than before they came.
And what happened then? What happened when Chevron came into your village in Nigeria?
I don't know what you mean by what happened.
What went wrong? What happened to your village, your community?
The fact is that when Gulf Oil was the first company that came in there before Chevron bought off all Gulf assets all over the world. When Chevron came in, they met the same similar situation. Left by Gulf. But ever since then, because we have no safe drinking water, we have no light, we have no street, there's no housing, there is nothing in the village. The village, I would say it was a forest, but now it's a thick bush. Just the only way I can express it, to tell you what we are going through. Even people, there's no more school, no more clinic, everything is gone. And they don't care, they don't give a damn. But surprisingly, do you know what's happened? If you go across the river, where the Chevron facility is, it's like a modern American city. is like a modern American city. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will not believe it. But just across from them is a deep, thick jungle, and they don't care. We don't ask them to give us the money. Let them use the money to develop the place for us. That's what we want. Because you might give the money to people, they might use it. But go there and do it yourself and say, this is what Chevron has done here. But there's nothing. We are suffering.
So I'd like to talk to you about this suffering. Could you share with us what kind of suffering? You mentioned that you have no more water since they came in. So really, if you could share with us, what are the risks? What happened? What has been your experience when the oil and gas industry came into your town?
When they came into our town, normally our people, most of them are fishermen. All the water is polluted. There's no fish anymore. We also fish this crayfish. There's none anymore. We also, our boys, there's no job. This is nothing. The whole place is just dried up. Nothing. This is exactly what is happening. For environment or for a community that has been producing oil for almost 50 years, if you're to be in the United States, none of us will suffer. None of us would like to come here, but nobody cares.
So then what would you like to share with the community here on these oil fields in Los Angeles?
Yeah, when I heard what was being discussed here regarding this fracking, I was very, very happy because nobody knows what is fracking probably in my village. This is the first time that people might say, yes, through me, they've heard it. So nobody knows whether there's pollution, whether it's a split of oil, nobody knows. Nobody even understand. Nobody understand anything when it comes to that. But right now, I'm aware of it, and I want to do something about it. I would like to find out where Chevron Oil, that is responsible for Escravos, Nigeria, as Chevron Oil Nigeria in Escravos. I would like to find the office, and I would like to talk to them. Because there's so much they have said they have done, but we don't see it. We don't know who they have given the money to, but I believe they have not done anything. They have not given money to anybody. So I would like to see them and talk to them. I am ready to bring as much people down here, even the most senior person in the village now, in the community, is about 85 years old man, my cousin. I can bring him here with documents, plus the one I'm having here now, to show to Chevron, for them to know that nothing is done in Nigeria.
And has there been organizing in your community, in your village in Nigeria, against the oil company?
Yes, they have been doing that so many times. When we do it, they will testify with one or two little things and promises that they never kept their promises.
So you said you were shocked to find out that this is going on here, that their oil fields here and fracking is happening in Los Angeles.
Yes. I'm really surprised, and I'm very happy to see how the community were able to get themselves together trying to fight it. This is what we should have been able to do back home over these years. But nobody knows. I don't blame them. But the company, they are aware of it, but they don't care.
What is it like to have seen your water supply destroyed, to not be able to fish in your waters, to have seen that loss? What is it like? What is your quality of life like there?
It's very, very sad. It's like we have no, it's like there's no life. It's that there's no life because we don't have anything. Everybody now, although we have a war for about 2 or 3 years, everybody has moved from the village and ran to the city. Nobody is in the village because there is nothing there anymore. And this is exactly what I'm trying to fight for, so that we can be able to do what we used to do before these oil companies came into our community.
Would you say there has been a loss then of your own history, your own culture?
Everything is lost. It's not a question of weather. Everything is lost. When there is no village that you can say, this is where my ancestry home, you are lost. That's exactly where we are now. And Chevron doesn't care. They will just team up with few, you know, people and do whatever they want to do and neglect the rest of the community. That's what is happening. Erosion is taking all over. If you see my village, where the elementary school used to be, it's now in the middle of the sea. Erosion. Where the elementary school used to be is now inside the water. This is what is happening.
You're talking about your village in Nigeria. Yes. And what it's like to live with the fossil fuel extraction that's happening at the hands of Chevron there. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Just like I said to you before, I'm very happy about the way the community is going about doing it here, trying to make their point clear to the oil companies about these pollutions. We also are dying in need of same thing back home. And I'm here and I would like to fight it to make sure I'm able to reach to that office here in the United States that is responsible for Chevron Nigeria in Escravos, so that I can talk to them and see what they can do to help us. Probably they might not even know what is happening back home. But when I meeting them here, telling them what is happening, they might have probably change of heart to do something better for us.
Well, it's also now, of course, we recognize what a global issue it is, how many of us throughout the world it's impacting, and you're a good messenger of what life can become if you lose your village, your town, if you have a loss of your family history, because you can't live anymore in your town, and if you lose your natural resources.
If you do, what life are you living? If you leave the heritage, your home, what life are you living? You cannot live in somebody else's land and claim that you are a human being, you are somebody, when you've lost your land. So this is what we are fighting for. Let them respect us, let them treat us well. The oil is given to us. It's not our making. It's the good Lord that made us to come out of this village. And they are here extracting this oil for 50 years. They should do something for us. They should help our children. They should help the elder ones. They should look after us because they are making so much money out of it. How much will Chevron need to develop Escravos? $100 million be more than enough to develop, to have everything that we need. And that is nothing to them. Why can't they help us?
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'm happy for this opportunity you've given to me. My name is Alison Okoturo. I'm from Escravos. That is the operation headquarters of Chevron Corporation in Nigeria.
I work in Culver City, and I live in Baldwin Hills. And I'm representing Kamari Ananda. That's my daughter. She's 8 years old. And I know I look like a fit, healthy young man, but really I'm a product of contaminated water, methane and contaminated water. I hurt constantly 24 hours a day from head to toe. My insides are tied in knots. I can't sleep. I function on 2 hours of sleep a day. I served my country. I was a United States Marine, and they gave us contaminated water, knowingly or unknowingly, but now I'm stuck. This is how I have to live the rest of my life, and I don't know how long it's gonna be because I drank water that was methane contaminated. And I have headaches. I have bad headaches. I have ear infections, headaches. I mean, I can't even explain them to you. Things that I go through just to be able to walk with my daughter while she rides her bike, or to do anything that normal people do, just getting up and putting my shoes on, putting my pants on. And I don't want my little girl or anybody's children to have to live like I live every day. If there's any question whatsoever that this is going to affect the drinking water, we have to say no. I mean, I ask myself every morning when I wake up, is life really worth living when you hurt like this? When you can't enjoy anything? When you can't even be happy sometimes, you know? And the only thing that keeps me going is my little girl. So if you guys take that from me, thank you.
My name is Diego Di Rizzio. I come from the Argentinian organization Observatory OSAP. We come here to learn about the experience of the New York organization, the New York movement, and also of the USA movement fight against fracking, against expansion of oil and gas industry, because we are seeing the same movement in our Argentina, in our country, especially as the spearhead of a more broad expansion in the whole continent, in the whole region, South America and Latin America. So in this sense, we, after 3 years of exploration, the first exploitation project was signed in Argentina in September between the national company YPF and Chevron. So we came to learn, to take inputs, and also to share some of the Argentina situation, Argentina's perspectives in shale and in fracking.
And in Argentina, and also you mentioned throughout Latin America, is it shale gas or oil or a combination of both?
Both. At least in Argentina, both. In other countries, they are exploring. There is this initial stage, but drills have been done in Chile, in Bolivia, in Uruguay, and Paraguay. Brazil also announced areas, and Mexico also has done some drillings, and also Colombia. So in this stage, it's also all exploration. We'll have to wait a little bit to see which is the main objective of the companies.
And so in the global south, then, are you finding that there is a kind of organization or any kind of solidarity against the movement to raise awareness about the risks? And if you could talk to us about that at all?
In a South American level, we are starting the first steps, as Colombian representatives were a couple of weeks ago in the north of Patagonia to learn from the Argentinian experience. But we will also have people from Brazil, from France, and we are starting to form a network of organizations to work more in a regional perspective. And in the particular case of Argentina, we are part of a movement that has achieved 30 bans in local municipalities. And also some regions, like for example our eastern region that is part of aquifer, Guarani Aquifer, one of the finest reserves of water, has some provinces have already almost locked all the region to shale exploration. So in this sense, mobilizations in places like north of Patagonia or the central Patagonia, historical regions of oil and gas production, that nowadays want to raise awareness and to see all the broad view that fracking has. I mean, not only in economic terms. So in this sense, for us, it's a big change. It's a game changer also in the organization of the people.
My name is Josh. I'm from localflux.net. I also live up state. I live in Beacon. The Rockaway pipeline has gone through the approval process already, and we feel that to bring gas into a physical geography that just underwent a natural disaster, and to use that as an opportunity to have a gas play run right through a heavily populated urban environment and bring potentially radon into people's kitchens is just unfair. It's unjust, and we're against it. And that's why we're here today holding this sign to stop the Rockaway pipeline.
We are the people too. You can't ignore us. Three. We will not let you poison our water. One. We are the people too. You can't ignore us. Three. We will not let you poison our water. One. We are the people too. You can't ignore us.
Well, yeah, I have to ban fracking, yes, in order for people to survive and be able to drink water.
What's your name?
Teresa Knuff.
When did you first become aware of the issue?
About a year ago.
Where do you live?
I live in the Bronx.
So you want to see fracking stopped?
Definitely has to be stopped, or else people are not going to be able to drink the water, and it's going to endanger people's lives.
Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome.
It is Sunday, September 21st, and the time has come for the People's Climate March. I'm on Central Park West, just north of the Natural History Museum, just adjacent to the park, at 80th Street. And people are gathering, people are unpacking, people are setting up their banners, their sculptures, their installations. I'm looking at the Arctic. I'm looking at a sculpture of the Arctic, the melting ice caps of polar bear.
My name is Mary Sweeters. I'm an Arctic campaigner with Greenpeace. And we're out here today with an Arctic contingent made up of folks from Greenpeace and the Alaska Wilderness League and some other organizations who are working to protect the Arctic. And our message here is to show that the Arctic affects everyone in the world. As the Arctic melts and destabilizes the climate and sea levels rise, folks everywhere in the world, not just the people in the Arctic, although there are 4 million people who are affected by this, living in the Arctic region, but in addition to those folks, people all around the world are affected by this. Coastal communities, low-lying island countries, all of these people are affected by the melting Arctic. And so we want to call attention to the fact that the Arctic is not just about polar bears, but it's about the people around the planet who are affected by this.
What kinds of actions are you taking and work in the communities?
Yeah, there's an effort right now that's a growing global effort to establish a sanctuary in the Arctic and the uninhabited region around the North Pole. And folks all around the world are getting involved by approaching their own leaders in their own communities to raise the cry to do that, to establish an Arctic sanctuary. Because we think that as the Arctic melts and seas are opening, oil companies and countries are looking to that to drill for more oil. And that's what got us into this problem in the first place. And so we want to be able to protect the Arctic as a symbol of this is a commons for, humanity, and as something that we need to protect for, future generations.
And you mentioned that locally 4 million people are affected in the Arctic. And how does that connect to the global issue and to what this means for our lives because of what's happening due to climate change with the melt?
Sure. I mean, I think this is definitely a human issue. So 4 million people live in the Arctic, within the Arctic Circle. Over 30 different tribes, indigenous tribes, are living there. And so this is something that, they rely on a healthy ecosystem for their own livelihoods, for their own sustenance. And we want to make sure that we work in solidarity with those communities to protect the Arctic in the way that makes, is the best for them and the best for our whole planet.
And how do people find out more about the work you're doing?
Yeah, folks can visit savethearctic.org, and that'll show them both the global petition, of which we have over 6 million people who have signed on so far, as well as other ways that they can get involved in the future. My name is Mary Sweeters.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
My name's Ken Wampler, and I live in New York City, and I have a place in the Catskill with my husband of 31 years. We have had 3 floods in the past 7 years on our property, and I'm actually kind of relieved that I'm 61 years old, because I think I may make it out alive, or at least I may make it to my death without it being catastrophic climate change. But, I think if I were a parent with a child, I would be sleepless over what's happening to the earth.
From the kitchen table, out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artell. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artell's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artell. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artell. Safe travels.